So I guess I'm reading the Christmas story tonight, but we're not going to start at the first verse of chapter 2. Jesus is born. Jesus is born in that manger in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary have taken the long trip, and they get to that place where there is no room for them. And they find themselves in a makeshift birthing area where the animals normally give birth, in a manger. And she has her firstborn son, and she wraps him in swaddling clothes. And the story goes. We're going to pick up in verse 8 of chapter 2 in the Gospel of Luke. In that region, there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see the thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Over the years, I have had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people about this particular story. And as I have done that, I have heard a number of responses about what they think about this story. Some people think that this is a really good story, like a fable, like Aesop would have told back in the day. And other people have said to me that this is nothing really more than a metaphor that you can find deep truth in. And actually, I think those are pretty good responses if you are a person that questions a lot of the things that you hear. And as a matter of fact, I would tell those people to continue asking the questions that come up when they hear stories like this. Because you see, for me, I believe that those are great responses for people to have, because it means that God is working, and who knows where those questions will lead. But tonight's scripture offers two other kinds of responses that I think are also responses that we have had, those of us who claim to follow this newborn baby. And the responses are found not only in this text that you've heard tonight, but they're also in other texts throughout the scripture. Then the responses are these: pondering, or reflecting on things in life, or proclaiming, telling the story, your story, someone else's story, the faith story, proclaiming, pondering and proclaiming. And I think for people who claim to follow this baby, if you've never pondered or proclaimed, why? Why? Consider Mary. Just for a moment. I know that some of you think a lot about Mary from time to time, maybe only at this time of the year, but consider Mary. She had 9 months to simply ponder. What does it mean to be a single teenage mother in the first century. She had time to ponder the questions, what do the people in my little town of Bethlehem think about me? Will they shun me after this baby is born? Will I ever be able to go home? And she also had some time to ponder maybe even the deeper question, why? Why would God choose a nobody like me, someone with so little importance? Why? She pondered these things for all those months. We don't have a lot of time for pondering in our world today. We're very busy people, very little time for reflection or deep thought, very little time to think broadly about what it means to be human, about what it means to be in relationship with others. We don't think deeply about what our priorities are anymore. We just don't have time to wonder where we've been, where we are, or where we're going, because there's other things that are more important, like the Dallas Cowboys. But pondering is really an important part of what makes us who we are, because if we never think about who we are, then how do we know who we're becoming? Who has God created us to be? The life of faith is not really a simple action. Mary shows us in her pondering that the life of faith is not just about doing things with our hands and our feet, about going places and fixing things, but the life of faith is deep internal transformational work that takes time, because it's not work that we do by ourselves, it's the work of the Spirit within us. Mary teaches us and shows us what that is, what that looks like, and what the possibilities for fullness in life really looks like when we simply live into the mystery without having to solve all the details of the mystery. But then there's those pesky, stinking shepherds. They're not pondering, they're proclaiming. They're the ones who are, after a long, hard day's work, sleeping on the side of a mountain somewhere. Rocky, uninhabitable, they've worked hard in the sun all day long. And suddenly, the God's messenger wakes them up with a booming voice and proclaims, "The Christ is born. Go and see this thing." And they are terrified. Who are they that God would go to them with God's own messenger? Unimportant outcasts. But God shows up. And then shows up the heavenly hosts, and the song breaks out. Glory, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all men. Not seminary trained, not theologically astute, probably can't even read and write, and yet God's first message of the born Christ to those in the fields at night. And what do? Instead of running home to hide, they run to see the thing that they have been told. And it is a word just for them. But when they get there, there's others. Mary and Joseph. But who else is there? The scripture says there are others there with them. And they hear the news, and they are amazed. Do they believe? Maybe. Maybe they're pondering the words of these low-life stinky shepherds. Maybe they're thinking they've just had too much wine to drink before they went to bed that night. But those shepherds know, they know something that those others don't. That God has done a new thing, and they know it first of all, and they believe. And their belief leads them to proclamation, to glorifying God in everybody's presence. The first evangelists, the stinking shepherds. Nobody wanted to listen to them. Nobody would have listened to them. But they were the ones. Pondering and proclamation, hand in hand they go. But what about us? What about us? Just a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of spending an evening at the Eisman Center with some of the women that I went to seminary with. We went to see a Christmas show. There was a professional handbell choir and a mezzo-soprano singer and the Dallas Street Choir all together. We had gone to dinner before we went to the show that night, and the three of us were sitting there bemoaning the plight of the pastor during the Advent and Christmas season. So let me give you a picture of what that conversation looked like. I don't have time to wash my face before I go to bed at night. My phone rings all day long. If I write one more sermon, and if my phone rings one more time, and when am I going to go have my nails done? No time. And then one of them said, and somehow I just miss Jesus. It was interesting, that conversation. And so when we got to the Eisman Theater that night and we sat down, we were tired, but we were anxiously waiting. And the handbell choir came out, and that beautiful soprano voice started singing, and the bells were beautiful. And eventually, the Dallas Street Choir walked out. They were a ragtag bunch of people. There they were, modern-day shepherds, in t-shirts and jeans, probably the cleanest they had been all week. And when they started singing, you couldn't believe what you were hearing. It certainly wasn't like a church choir. It was glorious. The gusto, the passion, the praise, it was some of the most beautiful music I had ever heard. In every toothless smile, I was reminded that there is nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. As they sang those Christmas songs that I had heard since I was a little child, I heard those promises ringing through my ears, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then, during a piece that was only supposed to be these beautiful handbells playing all on their own, somebody started to hum. And the conductor turned around and looked at the choir and did one of these, as if you were talking to a child, and everybody in the choir started to hum. It was an absolute act of defiance, and all I could think of in those moments was, first, it's so much better with the humming in the background, and second, it is time to shake up the status quo, people. This is Jesus. This is the proclamation of the modern-day shepherds. Love is sacrifice. This is what that baby reminds us all of tonight. Now, I can't speak for my colleagues, and I can't speak for most of you, probably any of you, in this room tonight. But this I can tell you for sure, that sometimes the proclamation of the gospel is heard best by stinking shepherds. It doesn't matter if it's in the first century. It doesn't matter if it's in the 21st century. These shepherds remind all of us that God left the heavens to put on flesh and blood and to live with us. That there is nothing that we have done to earn the grace or the goodness of that baby in the manger. And there is nothing that will ever separate us from the grace and the goodness of that baby in the manger. That baby was born in the squalor of poverty and died the death of a criminal so each one of us could have everlasting life. And not just after we go to the grave, but even as we are here together tonight. We are one in Christ and one with each other because there was a baby born to an unwed single mother more than 2,000 years ago. That's the gospel. That's the news of the shepherds. That's the news that's ours to claim tonight. This is a proclamation that perhaps for only tonight we should all ponder.